So, seeing as it is a week before Shavuos, so let's just do this piece. It's very Torah related. I don't know, Razi, what do you think? I remember reading this a couple years ago. I mean, many years ago, and I thought it was really nice. this is Rav Soloveitchik. I feel like a little bit in his more emotional essay. It's interesting how it was like the title is "On the Love of Torah: Impromptu Remarks at a Siyum." So maybe it's almost easier to understand the Rav if it's impromptu than if it's written out in advance, because I feel like the ideas were a little bit more accessible than some of the other things of Rav Soloveitchik. All right, so let's read a little bit together and talk about it. So he says at the very beginning, and this paragraph, we'll read it, but I feel like if you know Rav Soloveitchik's like famous footnote in what's it called, in Aleh Tshuva, about like the Erev Shabbos Jew, I feel like that very much ties into like the spirit of this paragraph. So he says, the Jew unceasingly seeks, indeed craves Kedusha and Torah. The Ramban explains, right, so tying in some Ramban into this Shir, that the preface to the Shir Shel Yom is always, today is the first, second, third, etc. day in the Shabbos cycle, because the Jew counts each day with longing, anxiously awaiting the arrival of the Shabbos. In a similar vein, the Chinuch explains that the counting of the Omer, also known as the Yoma, reflects the Jew's awareness that the goal of the exodus from Egypt was the receiving of the Torah, and by counting the days, the Jew demonstrates his impatient longing for Torah. Similarly, the mitzvah of Tosefa Shabbos, of ushering in the Shabbat some small time before its obligatory commencement at sunset, exemplifies the Jew's impatient yearning for Kedusha. Okay, so far, if the main topic of this essay, as the title says, is on the love of Torah, we haven't gotten there yet. Rav Soloveitchik he's developing it. But he wants to put the love of Torah, I think, in the perspective or in the framework of just Avodas Hashem in general. Yeah, Rav Soloveitchik is saying here that part of us, at least the way we're supposed to be, is that we're always trying to do mitzvot properly. We're always trying to get to Kedusha, which is what I guess the mitzvot represent. And that's, Shabbos plays a big role here, and then Sefiras HaOmer leading to Matan Torah, and all these examples, it's all of us, you know, we're so excited about the opportunity to do the mitzvah. We can't wait. We're always looking forward to it. Okay? So now comes the transition. The search for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the search for Kedusha, is really a search for the Holy One, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Real Kedusha is found only when he spreads the shelter of his peace over us. Right? We can skip a little bit here. But the idea that when a Jew craves mitzvos, he's really craving Hashem. So this, I feel like what Rav Soloveitchik is saying here is almost Hasidish. No, the idea that maybe we don't even realize it, but when we're excited about Shabbos, and we're excited about Matan Torah, so all those things, it's really about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember when I was in my last year of smicha in YU, so I had we like to collect jobs, my wife and I. So one of the things we were doing was we were Shabbos hosts for the Mechina program. That still exists, right? The Mechina program, it's still a thing. It is JSS, but I don't know if it's exactly the same thing. But I don't know, maybe it is. But Lamai says, so we were a Shabbos host. I remember speaking to this young man who was a Baal Tshuva. He didn't grow up from. So he was saying that the way it happened was that he had been to Israel. I feel like maybe we mentioned this before. But he had been to Israel. And maybe it was birthright, maybe it was some other trip. I think it wasn't even specifically a religious trip. But he was just, when he came back to America, he just felt this need to like feel close to Israel, that he started putting on tzitzis because that's what he associated with what would remind him about what it was like to be in Israel. So that's I feel like Rav Soloveitchik is getting at here. The idea that sometimes we have this certain craving for Kedusha, maybe we can't even articulate exactly what we're looking for, but what we're really looking for at the end of the day is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rav Soloveitchik is saying here. Okay, let's skip all the examples here that he's quoting. And go to, in a certain sense, you see like the second column, the first full paragraph in the second column, right? In a certain sense, what Kedusha is for the Jew, Torah is for the Talmid Chacham. Ah, now we're finally getting into the specific example he's talking about here. Right? As we said in the title, impromptu remarks at the Siyum, so Rav Soloveitchik's shir, they finished the paragraph in Chulin, So he was asked to say some words at the Siyum. So now he's transitioning into Talmud Torah. So in a certain sense, what Kedusha is for the Jew, Torah is for the Talmud Chacham. The idea that the Torah has to be something that we're I'm not reading inside. The idea that Torah has to be something that we're yearning for, that it's something that we're really looking to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the idea that we're just so excited to learn, and if it's been a while since we've had an opportunity just to be in the Beis Medrash with the Chavrusa, or even just by ourselves with a Sefer that we just can like read Benachas, that's what we should always be yearning for, right? Torah is for the Talmud Chacham. Torah should not just be an intellectual pastime. And this is something which I feel like it's important to remind ourselves, because we think about like the Brisker approach to learning, that it's so cerebral. And Rav Soloveitchik himself, I feel like, not having known him personally, but the impression you get in Shir, just, and also we know our own Rebbeim from Shir, but a certain intense love of the Iyun, but, says Rav Soloveitchik, but it has to be emotional. It can't just be intellectual, right? True, one can enjoy the intellectual creativity involved in Talmud Torah, but Talmud Torah should be an emotional experience as well. One should feel a tremor when engaged in it, right? Like he's excited. The Torah should be seen not just as a book, but as a living personality, a queen, right? Like the Shabbat Malkita, with whom one can establish an I-Thou relationship. Like the Torah is a you. Like, I'm so excited to see you. I'm so excited I get to learn your content. I'm so excited I get to understand you. In many places, the Torah is referred to as a personality. As, for example, right, like a Medrash, like the Hashem said before HaKadosh, the Torah said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah said before the Holy One, blessed be He. The study of Torah should be a dialogue, not a monologue. If I look at the Gemara as simply paper and print, as merely a text, I would never be creative. Torah is a friend. The idea that we can't just view it as dry material. It has to be something that's alive. It has to be something that we're excited about, that we want to understand. And this is the I feel like it reminds me, there's a famous, I don't know, maybe it's not good to say famous, because I'm not sure how famous it is. But I think it's relatively well known. But there's a selection at the end of Rav Soloveitchik's essay, Uvikashta Misham, where he talks about his experience of, as a boy growing up, and his father was in Kolel, or his father was Rosh Chabura in Kolel, and he remembers that his room was right next to the room where his father would give Chaburas at night to the Avrechim, and he would sit up, and he would have no idea what was going on. He had no idea what was going on in the Shir. All he would know was that his father is a good Brisker Shir, so he'd be focused on the Rambam, and being Miyashiv Rambam, and a Mahalach in the Rambam. So says Rav Soloveitchik, he didn't understand. All he knew was that there was this hero who was called the Rambam. And he had these enemies, like the Ravid and whoever, the other Rishonim, and everybody's trying to attack the Rambam. And the Rambam is looking, who's going to defend me? And my father would defend the Rambam. And he has this whole thing about sometimes my father wouldn't have an answer, and everybody would be so upset, and I'd go crying to my mother, and I'd say, Mommy, what are we going to do? My Abba can't explain the Rambam. And he said, don't worry. My mother would say, don't worry. Maybe one day your father will have an answer for the Rambam, and maybe if he doesn't, maybe when you get older, you could have an answer for the Rambam. But he has this whole thing, and says, Rav Soloveitchik, that's the way I experienced it as a child, that's exactly how I experience it now. The only difference is that now it's not just the Rambam that I'm learning with when I'm learning. It's also the Ravid and Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi and the Ramban. He says that learning Torah is mamish like learning with friends. Learning with, it's a live, dynamic, emotional experience. So this is important to remind ourselves that, and I feel like this idea of Rav Soloveitchik, is also, I feel like, fodder sometimes for some Sichas Musar that I think about giving or have given, or just advice to guys when I'm speaking to them, is the idea that if you're pushing yourself so hard, you're so exhausted, and you're so, and you just feel like you're filling up your schedule to such an extent that you're just almost like a robot, and you're not able to appreciate what learning is and enjoy the learning, that's not a good thing either, because you're really sacrificing for the sake of quantity in the quality. And quality it's important here, as Rav Soloveitchik is saying. The idea that I should be enjoying the Gemara, I should be enjoying the Limud, that it should be something that inspires me and I look forward to, that's part of what Torah is supposed to be. That's part of what the Mitzvah is supposed to be. Because at the end of the day, all these things are really supposed to be about getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that I'm learning only for that sake, but that's what it's supposed to be in a healthy Jew's neshama, when he's learning and when he's doing mitzvahs. So it's also important perspective to have. Okay? We're gonna skip to be a lamdan. Skip a paragraph. To be a lamdan requires hasmada and inquisitiveness and curiosity. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. Let's just we can't go over everything we've said, but a very quick summary of what we're saying so far. We could say it in half a minute, and that's the idea Rav Soloveitchik has been saying here. This is just some comments Rav Soloveitchik had at a siyum in his Ein Shir for a parak and first parak in Chulin. But the idea says Rav Soloveitchik that our attitude towards mitzvos and our attitude towards iyun and towards learning has to be that it's just something that excites me. That it's that or not even that it's supposed to be. Naturally, if we're doing it properly, it is about something that we're excited about, and that we can look forward to, and we have a certain yearning for. Because behind the scenes, with all mitzvos, with Shabbos, with Sfiras HaOmer, and now with Iyun, Rav Soloveitchik is saying, it's supposed to be about a yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's really underneath the surface in all the mitzvos that we're doing, and for a Talmid Chacham and for a Ben Yeshiva. Maybe in the most intense way, the way that this is going to be experienced is in learning. But you have to have that attitude that I'm yearning, I'm excited about Torah, because it's really under the surface, like I said, about getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so what he says here... Yeah. You have a question? No. Okay. Okay. If I were asked how an emotional experience, if I were here... can be had through studying the laws of monetary fines like knossos and damages and zikin, I would say that it's true that the exterior of Torah is formal and abstract, but behind the shell, I would say that it is true the exterior of Torah is formal and abstract, but behind the shell of conceptual abstraction, there's a great fire burning, giving warmth and love, and one can love the Torah in turn with great passion. Right? When you apprehend the Torah as a personality, not just as a book, it infiltrates your emotional as well as your intellectual life. And Am Haaretz cannot have this experience, and one cannot be a lamdan without it. Wow, this is very, very interesting. Rav Soloveitchik is saying here that how could it be that you're learning Yevech Hakira in the Mechayev of Nezek? So how is it that should be exciting, that should be burning, that should be emotional? He says it is. It is. That's the reality. If you view the Torah as something living, and you realize that the Torah is all somehow the Ratzon Hashem, or expressions of different ways of appreciating the Ratzon Hashem, so then that's something that's supposed to be, that will inspire, that'll excite you. Okay? At least, hopefully, if it's being done in a situation where the person's doing it in a healthy way, in a proper way, that's what it's going to lead to. Okay. Now this is something which it's such a nice word, a very nice word, and that's it's also just interesting. Rav Soloveitchik sees within halacha hashkafa. I'll see what I say in a second. Okay, blessed art thou, Rabbi Baruch Atah, who has. Let me just minimize these windows here so I can see my screen. Rabbi Baruch Atah Hashem, who has commanded us la'asok b'divrei Torah, right, to be involved in the words of Torah. Torah is not only to be studied, but demands an all-encompassing involvement. La'asok b'divrei Torah. Okay, Tosfos and Brachos asks, why the bracha? Okay, I'm gonna be loose with the translation. Why the bracha for Torah recited once in the morning suffices for each time one learns during the day, no matter how many interruptions has taken place? Right, while the bracha for being in the sukkah, for sitting in the sukkah, must be recited anew each time one returns to the sukkah after leaving it. They answer, right? What does Tosfos answer? That since the obligation of Talmud Torah is continuous, one is always conscious of the mitzvah. However, any discontinuity of awareness related to the mitzvah of sukkah effectively requires that a new bracha be recited each time the observance of the mitzvah is terminated, etc. Okay, so what's Tosfos saying? Tosfos is saying, why is it that when I eat in the sukkah and then I go out and I have a hefsek and I come back, I need a new bracha? When I make the Birkas HaTorah in the morning, I have the biggest hefsek. After I'm done davening, so I go and I eat breakfast and I schmooze. If I'm in yeshiva, then I'll have Ian Seder, you know, maybe a half hour, maybe an hour later. But if I'm a regular guy, I go to work and then I have my whole day. I come back, and maybe after I've had dinner and said hi to the family, I'll go out and have a chavrusa, meaning there could be 12 hours in between. How is it not a hefsek just like it is by sukkah? It seems very surprising. So it says Tosfos, no, it's different. There's an obligation by Torah, v'gisa b'yom v'alayla. And therefore it's continuous. Masha'in came by sukkah. But the question is, what does that mean? Meaning, but it's not continuous. Maybe you could say that by Torah I have a chiyuv to be learning it all day long. But Lamais, I'm not learning it all day long. So why is it that I don't have to make a new Birkas HaTorah? So how does Rav Soloveitchik explain it? Apparently there are two kinds of awareness according to Tosfos. The first is an acute awareness, right? That I'm mamish thinking about it. What's an acute awareness? When I'm with Mecharusa and we're trying to figure out what's going on in the Rashba, I have an acute awareness of the Rashba in front of me. And I'm thinking about it. I'm analyzing it. Right? That's what you don't have all day long in Torah. Clearly this is lacking when one thinks about other matters. The second is latent awareness. And this awareness is still present even though one is engaged in other matters. Let's read the next paragraph and then see what this could possibly mean. When a mother plays with her child, there is an acute awareness of the child, right? She's playing with her, or him, right there. But even when the mother works at a job, or is distracted by some other activity, there is a natural latent awareness of her child's existence. This latent awareness remains throughout her entire lifetime and can never be extinguished. It is expressed in commitment, devotion, and in the feeling of identification, etc. And then Rosavichik in the next paragraph is going to say that can also happen by Torah. What's the mushal and what's the nimshal? If somebody's a parent, it's so interesting actually by mothers, I think even more than fathers scientifically. But the idea that even when a mother, I mean some fathers, I think not so much with me, but when a mother is sleeping even and she hears like a little squeak from the baby, she'll turn over, she'll be aware of it. For any other noise, she can ignore it while she's sleeping. But somehow, even subconsciously, the mother's aware of her child. Even when the mother's at work, and even when the mother is in the supermarket, even when the mother is with friends, that her child is part of her, and she's not actively thinking about the child, but it's certainly in the back of her mind. Maybe she all of a sudden randomly think, oh, I should call home and see how the child's doing. Or maybe just think about them. But it's something that's always there underneath the surface. So Rav Soloveitchik in the next paragraph, which we're not going to read together, that's how it should be with Torah. If, going back to what Rav Soloveitchik said a couple paragraphs ago, if I really view Torah as a you, I want to understand you, and it's something that's like a personality, and something that I could get excited about and be emotional about, and get connected with, I love the Torah. Just like a parent loves a child, I love the Torah. And therefore, even though you have the person who made Birkas HaTorah, and then he went out and worked and did all sorts of things for 12 hours, but a Ben Torah, if he's in yeshiva or if he's not in yeshiva, but it's supposed to be that the Torah is something it's in the back of his mind. Oh, I wish I could be learning. Maybe even it creeps in once in a while, and he's thinking, what's the pshat over there? But somehow the fact that he's supposed to be loving Torah so much to get to the point, you're right, he's not actually engaging consciously and learning and really thinking about it in the front of his mind, but it's supposed to be, to some extent, in the back of his mind. And that's the idea that, as opposed to a sukkah, where if you're not in a sukkah, then it's a hefsek in the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. But if you're not learning Torah, the fact that there's a mitzvah, yigisa b'yom v'layla, what does that show? That even if you're not actively learning Torah, it should be part of your awareness of Torah. Torah should be part of your awareness of everything, to some extent. You never totally leave it. And then we're not going to read the whole thing, but Rav Soloveitchik says, and so too, that this is all, again, part of a siyum, but the idea of hadron alach and datan alach, the idea we're going to return to you, we're going to return to the Torah, we're thinking about you. The idea that even one finishes learning Torah, so since it's something that he's excited about and loves and wants to understand better, he's like, I'll get back to you. I don't know when it's going to be. Maybe it'll be in 20 years, maybe it'll be in 50 years, maybe it'll be in a month. But I know that I can always understand you better. I know if I go back, I'll always see new things. And I'll be able to get to a deeper level of understanding, so I'm going to come back to you because I love you. But this piece of Rav Soloveitchik, like I said at the very beginning, it's short. I think it's more accessible than a lot of Rav Soloveitchik's other essays. And what's also interesting about a lot of Rav Soloveitchik's bigger essays, I guess maybe at Halacha Command, not so much, but even that to some extent, Rav Soloveitchik was writing it with a broad audience in mind. He was writing it that if you're from, not from, maybe even not Jewish, that you could get some important lessons about Avodas Hashem. This essay is obviously very specific to Bnei Yeshiva, to Bnei Torah, and I feel like it's another dimension of what we can learn from Soloveitchik's writings. It's also obviously very appropriate in terms of a week before Shavuos. Next week is Shavuos. We won't be having this year, at least for me at this exact time. Meretz Hashem, next week is Shavuos. But the take-home lessons of this, and I recommend taking a look at it and reading it, because it's not a long piece. There's some important paragraphs that we didn't get to read through together. But the idea that one is ideally a healthy Ben Torah, a healthy Jew, if he really has his priorities straight and he has his and everything's balanced properly and he's getting enough sleep and he's eating enough, he's eating the proper food and he's not having things that are frustrating him. Looking forward to Shabbos, it's supposed to be something that he yearns for. Looking towards Matan Torah, it's supposed to be something he yearns for. Even towards Morning Seder, it's supposed to be something he yearns for, because beneath the surface of all those mitzvos is really a desire to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just this beautiful idea that even when one's not learning Torah, when one is so connected to Torah, he can never totally divorce himself from it. And that's why it's not a hefsek by Birkas HaTorah. So again, there's more diyukim and more things to be learned from this essay, but those are some of my thoughts on regular achas. Okay, let's stop this recording. Feel free to unmute yourselves.